I remember when our oldest daughter first had her first preschool type of experience. We were in Wisconsin at the time, where I was doing my internship, and Allison was working, and Kirsten went to preschool part of the week. And one of the things there that the woman who was teaching and leading the program was encouraged the children to color on plain pieces of paper. She didn't give them paper that had pictures outlined on them or anything, because she didn't want them to worry about coloring within the lines or anything like that. So she just gave them a piece of paper, wanted them to color and say, there are no lines, just color as you would wish. You're not limited by the lines that might be on the paper. And I think back to this when I think about Jesus teaching about love. We are not within the lines people. For the people of Israel, they would remember how God spoke to Moses, as it's recorded in the book of Leviticus, with words for the people. Where God said to Moses that the people of Israel are not to take vengeance, not to bear a grudge against any of your people. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now Jesus brings newness to this thought of love. As he talks with his disciples, he mentions and shares with them a new commandment. And he says, as I have loved you, love one another. That the expression of the love of God is seen in Jesus. And we understand God's love to be universal, to be sacrificial, merciful, to be strengthening, inseparable, a love that corrects and reforms, a love that is rewarding. So think of God's love in those terms when you reflect on Jesus saying, as I have loved you, love one another. So the standard had been, love your neighbor as yourself. That commandment, that instruction is transformed to love as I have loved you. So we begin with the understanding of what does Jesus mean by one another. In Leviticus, God told Moses, your people. And too often in our lives, and too often it is portrayed in Christian circles, that love applies to those who live within the lines, who keep within the lines. That lines are drawn and conditions are made. It is said that the ways of the world are that I love you if. But for God, I love you even if. And so when it comes to love, Jesus transforms the understanding of the people. This love of God is beyond our understanding. That breaks down all barriers, is ridiculously inclusive, extends the lines, in fact, obliterates the lines. We recognize that we love those who are outside of the defined lines, as we all are. It is said that we are all scribblers. We are all scribblers. We all color outside the lines. And that one author said, God will grace our failings. Be merciful with our failings. And that this wondrous grace points us to God's love. And so there is this transformation when Jesus says, love as I have loved you. Be my disciples. And this is a love that demands the entire person. It extends to our fellowship. It extends to our neighbor. And extends beyond, even to our enemy. This love is a principle to deliberately live by. It's a fundamental to live by. It is a love of the mind, not an emotion. It is a love of the will that will conquer our natural inclinations. It is a love that does not dwell on mistakes. It is a love that does not bring up the past. It is a love that will forgive without one even asking for forgiveness. It is a love for those whom we do not even like. Love as Jesus loved? Think about that. What does it mean to love? The love of which Jesus speaks is that no matter what one does, that we seek their highest good. It is benevolent, generous, a love of goodwill, of being of kindly nature. Seek the highest good of all. Now, seeking the highest good requires restraint amongst people and our actions. Actions are not to go unchecked. It is not to do as all would like to do. Someone talked about God having unconditional love but not necessarily unconditional approval. Much like a parent, huh? But a goodwill for all people. Goodwill for all people requires discipline. It requires responsibility. As I have loved you, Jesus tells His disciples. I can almost imagine His disciples hearing this and then automatically, once He completes His teachings, begin to raise questions. What if? What if? What if? What if? What if? For this love that Jesus speaks of is not possible for us. But it's necessary that as a disciple that we live in relationship with our teacher, our master, and our Lord, that we move beyond our own hatreds and bitterness, our desire to injure and to dislike, and for God's Spirit to take hold of us. To take hold of us. Martin Luther wrote how we cannot by our own understandings believe in Jesus Christ or come to Him or do any of this. How we cannot love in that manner on our own. But that every day we are caught in a wrestling match between our human self and God's Spirit. And that God's Spirit will come each and every day and take on that wrestling match anew. One writer put it this way, as if God is writing a letter to us and says, you get it all wrong. You're not here to master unconditional love. You're here to learn personal love. A love that is universal, a love that is messy, a love that is sweaty, a love that is crazy, and a love that is broken. A whole love, infused with divinity. Lived through the grace of stumbling. Demonstrated through the beauty of messing up, often. You're not here to be perfect. You're here to be gorgeously human, flawed and fabulous. Luther writes, "How the Holy Spirit calls me and enlightens me, comes and wrestles with us each and every day." But we are all like that blank piece of paper that is our lives, and we have no lines on that, but rather that the presence of Jesus is drawn upon us in our own way, in our own understandings, in our own fashions. And each and every one is beautiful.